Okay, welcome along to another edition of Fundamental Golf. Tonight, we've got Sinead M. Golf from Instagram, who's all over Instagram again. And of course, we've got Emma as well. Say hello, Emma.
Hello, everyone.
Good, good. Before we get started tonight, I just wanted to mention really quickly, a guy called Matt Holloway is going to do a sponsored head shaving. He's been growing his hair all through lockdown. And he sent me a photo the other day, which is hilarious because his hair... He exactly looks like Jesus or a disciple. His hair is long and flowing, and he's a bit of a friend of the show. But he's going to be supporting a charity called the Kendershire Kids Foundation, which myself and Emma both support already. We deliver golf sessions for children and young people in our area. It's just about inclusive golf, really, getting anybody involved that needs it with some mental health support along the way as well. But other than that, we'll bring that up a bit later on. Sinead, how are you?
Good, how are you guys?
Do you know what I find is bizarre? Is I generally feel I know you and I've never met you before, which is like the most surreal thing. And it's just like, it's just Instagram, this lockdown has been wonderful. And the fact is, I generally have friends that I've never met, which I find is weird.
I know. Do you know what? I totally feel that as well. And it's not just Instagram. I'm on this app at the moment called Clubhouse and you can speak to people and, you know, I've never met any of them, but I get on really well with them and you learn so much from them. And it's just amazing to think there's this network of us all that, you know, once lockdown's over, we're going to meet up and have a cracking time.
Massive crack.
It's bizarre because I work with children and young people on my normal job away from Instagram or whatever. And I always had this thing. These kids were like, oh, yeah, my friend from Australia or America, blah, blah, blah. I was like, have you ever met them? And he's like, no, also, they can't be your friend then, surely. You've never met this person. And actually now, lockdown, Instagram, I've got a load of golf friends on Instagram that I've never met in my life, and I can't wait to play golf with them. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. So, Sinead, how long have you been playing golf?
So, I started in September 2019. But I started, and it was a little bit of an odd time for me to start, really, because I played for September, October, having lessons. Then I had to stop because I had surgery. And then I started again in the January 2020, once I'd fully recovered. And then lockdown hit in March. So, on and off since September 2019, basically. But September 2019 was when I had my first ever lesson.
So you're really new to golf. Really, really new to golf.
So new. I tried when I was about 14. So we have a family holiday home in Portugal on a golf course, and my dad started playing.
What?
So really lucky. It's so nice. Beautiful.
Whereabouts?
So it's on the Algarve. It's a place called Boa Vista. So it's
I know Boa Vista,
our family home overlooks the 15th tee. So we look over the 15th tee, so it's beautiful. So I grew up going there for summers, and you know, dad always wanted me to play, and I had a lesson when I was 14, and I just didn't like the golf pro. I had a lesson with you know, life got in the way. University, I was at university for 7 years and working full-time whilst at university as well for 3 of those years, so you know, everything got in the way. And then I ended up dating someone that worked in the industry. He wanted me to start. I didn't like it, and we went to the range, and then he went away to coordinate a tournament somewhere. I came back and I was like, oh, I've had a few golf lessons and I'm actually quite good.
I'm hustling you. So why didn't you like it to start off with?
I think when I was 14, it was the case that I just didn't like the golf pro.
And what, were they just a bit of a douche or?
Yeah, I think I was probably like a super hormonal teenager as well. And I used to like, you know, I was a horse rider. I was really big into riding and drama when I was younger. So I think I more was focused on those things because I'd done them for a long time. And I just found golf a little bit boring as a teenager, I think. But it's very strange because I've always loved watching golf for a long time. I've loved watching it, but I just couldn't get my head into playing it. And then I think when I was with my ex-partner and he obviously worked in the industry, it was nice going to the range with him, but I didn't really like him telling me what to do. And it was sort of one sunny Sunday. I just remember it so clearly in my head. My gym is right by the driving range. And I just said to my dad, are you going to the driving range today? I kind of fancy it. And he was, and we went to the range and I was like, oh, I actually want a lesson.
So your dad plays a lot as well?
Dad does play a lot, yeah. He plays a lot more now, especially because he's retired. So he'd often be out like 3 times a week sometimes.
Oh, I bet he's buzzing that you want to get into it, isn't he?
Oh, it's so nice, yeah. So when I first started, the September, I was having lessons sort of every week. And then the October, we went on a family holiday to Tenerife. So I actually played my first ever 9 holes with my dad and my nephew, which was
lovely.
So that was just really nice. So I was like, no pressure, really enjoyed that. And yeah, the only person I've ever played with is my dad.
So what, when we get back into out of lockdown, sorry, never, hopefully, what's going to be the first thing you do? You're going to like start at the driving range? You're going to have some lessons? You're just going to go straight out?
So I'll probably definitely go back to the range. I mean, I live really close to the driving range anyway. I'm about 10 minutes away, so it's so convenient on a lunch break, like from work. Massively miss that. So I've got a lesson booked in the first day that everything eases off at the range. So I'll be at the range with my golf pro, having a lesson, and just sort of getting back into it. I've actually had a bit of a break from it. I've not really practiced that much at all. And then hopefully
you're not alone there. I was saying to Em on the phone yesterday, I haven't actually touched a golf club since literally the day after lockdown started again. So,
and that's unheard of, may I just say. Ben is at the golf club probably more than I am. I work full time. No, he's
don't
not.
Say that. I lied. Don't say that. Said. My wife will probably listen to this. You can't say things like that.
Yeah, Ben's never there. I don't really see him that often.
I think it'll be that. And then it'll be, I was in a place where, so I have some lessons at my dad's club as well, but I'm trying to work out where I want to be a member. You know, I was going around different golf courses to scout out what their female sections were like. So that'll be, again, back on the agenda, going to different.
What are your, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Where? What are your local courses?
So I live in Sale, so we've got Sale Golf Club. Sale, Chorlton, that's where I have my lessons, and that's where my dad's a member.
Is that the same place as, what's it, Liam Harrison and all that, correct?
I know Liam, yeah.
That's Golf Mates, if you don't know them.
I know them all, yeah. I know them all quite well. Really lovely guys, yeah. They a couple of years ago, when Liam was starting Golf Mates, came out to, they were all in Portugal, and we were out there as well, so Dad was playing with them, and you know, he was doing his Instagram, he'd started it then and stuff, and was, you know, doing his stuff with his drones on the courses out there. So yeah, know them all and see them all down at the club. And you know, I have lessons at Chorlton. I used to be a barmaid there when I was 18, so I actually know quite a few.
Yeah.
It's really nice, actually, to sort of have that and have that relationship with people. You know, everyone.
They're hilarious, that lot. They are hilarious.
Yeah, they're really funny. Yeah, they are great. So I see them most Saturdays if I'm down there having a lesson when we're not in lockdown. But where else? Northington. I played at Northington and really liked it there. There was a really nice environment and vibe. Quite a lot of golf courses around here. When I think
you've got quite a lot, really, haven't you? That kind of area's got. And so what would you played all over, really, like literally. It's got to the point, it's been such a long time since I've played like tournament. I could tell you roughly which area I played in, but some of the golf courses I wouldn't be able to tell you. It's crazy. My brain doesn't work that well anymore. But so what would you, like looking at a golf club, obviously ladies section, what else would you look for?
I just want somewhere that's like friendly and welcoming. Really? When I'm looking at a golf course to join, like as a member, I think, you know, it's all about the vibe when you're there. And if it's sort of quite standoffish and people sort of won't smile at you and say hi in the car park, that's not my kind of place. I like to talk to anybody and everybody. So, you know, when I'm at Chorlton, everyone smiles and says hi and waves, and, you know, people stop you and ask how your lessons are going or if you've been out on the course. And it was quite very much the same at Northington. They sort of, when I was there playing with my dad, they, quite a few people sort of said, you're not a member here, are you? But would you ever consider being a member here? Because, you know, we've just watched you play down this hole and, you know, I think you're really good and we'd get you involved. And there's different events and mixed competitions. I think that's a big thing as well, actually. The opportunity to sort of go out and play with the guys as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. It's really good to hear.
Like, yeah, so good.
I know we've spoken briefly on this before in past podcasts and past lives on Instagram, and just that open open door policy to have anybody in and everybody have a bit of a chat doesn't really happen as much as we'd like it to, let's put it that way. But it's good to hear that that's happening. Not that I'm trying to slag off golf again, because I get Emma tells me off for that, she gets a bit annoyed with me.
No, we're getting positive
this week.
Yeah.
So
but I do think these more modern places, I would say the Kendershire, when you come down to the Kendershire, it's quite modern day thinking. I think 90% of the people there are lovely, maybe 95. I'm like 5% probably I just don't know. But it's when you walk out, and I think when you go from your car to the clubhouse and people look at, literally just eye contact, I think that's enough, and just a smile, just that makes you feel so good for the day.
100%, definitely. Like, especially after the year we've all had, you know.
Yeah.
Seeing other people when you're at the golf
club. No, I might go a bit crazy.
I am sick of going to Tesco just because I want to see another human.
Yeah, I know.
I'm really looking forward to it. Really, really looking forward to playing a bit of golf and talking to some people and just having a nice time.
God,
losing some golf balls for me.
So you talked about you had your golf lessons, and then did you have an op? Did you say?
Yeah.
Was that through your endo?
Yes. Yeah.
Can you pronounce it for me? Because I just didn't know how to say it.
So it's endometriosis.
Can you just explain what it is, just literally for people that are going like, what is that?
Yeah, so endometriosis is where the lining of your womb is thickened and it grows at an accelerated rate, and you know, you can't shed that lining of your womb as we usually would, but the tissue actually can be found elsewhere. So there have been instances of people that have had endometriosis in like their lungs. I think I have heard a case of where someone had it in their brain. So we just don't understand really sort of how it spreads, obviously, because it is something that is typically, obviously it's just females that get it, and you know, it's very sort of orientated around like your pelvis and your back, the pain because it's your womb. But yeah, people have had it in their lungs and all sorts of things. So that was my 2019, yes, that would have been my third operation in 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you only just recently get diagnosed with it, like in the last 3 years then, is that?
Well, I was diagnosed when I was 13 formally.
So
it started when I was 12. I had problems with pain and I had an ovarian cyst. So I still get cysts now and again that are quite painful. But due to my age, they couldn't operate. So when I was 13, that's when they then decided this isn't going away, let's operate. So they did a laparoscopy and found endometriosis when they were in there. But it's one of those things, it's very misdiagnosed often, sometimes is there and isn't treated properly. So for me, they left my endometriosis there. So I had an operation when I was 13, when I was 14, when I was 17, and they left it on all three occasions. 13 and 14, they were more focused on this cyst though, because that was incredibly nasty and quite serious. But when I was 17 18, they went in and they did it and they said, yeah, it's there but it's too scattered, we can't remove it. And you know, then I was absolutely fine for a couple of years. I lived a relatively normal life from like 18 to 23 until I was sort of rushed into hospital one night and they thought it was an appendicitis. And then sort of I was in there all night, and the next morning I remember them coming and they're like, well, so have you got any history of anything? And I was like, you know, I had an ovarian cyst when I was 14, but that was when I was 14, like 12 to 14. And they were like, okay. And then they did a scan and it was a hemorrhage cyst. So that's what was causing the pain.
Wow.
And, you know, they said, we're not going to operate because it's not it's 5 centimetres is the usual size for cyst removal. So they said it's nowhere near 5 centimetres. It was 4.9. So I left hospital, and then the course of that year sort of was in and out of the A&E. At the time I lived in Liverpool and there's a women's hospital, and was in and out of A&E getting drips in my arm every couple of weeks because of the pain, and the IV paracetamol was the only thing that sort of eased it. So I decided to go back to a specialist. Went back to my specialist and, you know, they did the scans and checks. You see, it doesn't always show up on a scan. So they will do an MRI and they'll do ultrasounds, but it just doesn't usually show up unless it's pretty deep. So it didn't show up. So they went in and they found extensive endometriosis and that someone had accidentally stitched my bowel to my ovary, which was
shut up.
Yeah, so they had to stop surgery because they tried to remove the stitch, and obviously they couldn't because they didn't have any specialists on site. So then they said, you know, let's move you NHS to the women's hospital where we've got all these specialists. So went to have that, well, they did an MRI again. And when they did that MRI, they actually found endometriosis again that time. So endo had grown back, but deeper than before. So I had my second surgery. And unfortunately, I ended up having to come back to Manchester for that due to a surgeon leaving the country, and came back to Manchester and had that here with the most incredible surgeon. He's just been my absolute saviour. So I had my second one with him. I think I was in for about 3 hours. I should have been about 40 minutes. Removed it all. Still had loads of pain. And then in my 2019 surgery, I elected to have my appendix removed as well. So they removed a couple of cysts, some more endo, and my appendix.
Wow, you sound like you're like a stone lighter.
yeah
maybe
I know, I saw my consultant actually again January. I'm due to see him again soon, and he was like, you've lost so much weight. He's like,
you're taking it out.
I've got another cyst, I can tell you now.
Like, so are you on like running medication? Like, how does that, sorry to kind of go on about this, I know that's just, but in case there are people out there that are like, I've got something wrong and I'm not sure, like, what, how does that work?
So I just take the contraceptive pill. Because that's just there, and people will get put on contraception, whether it's the pill or the coil, IUD, injection to manage that. There's no cure. There's some trials going on at the moment at Edinburgh University that are quite exciting, because we've found that there's a couple of drugs that seem to be working to help manage the pain. I personally don't like to take a lot of painkillers. It would inhibit me from doing the job that I have full time. And I've sort of been through it all, and I just don't like being on them. So I tend to sit with a hot water bottle all the time on my
back. Does gin help? Just a quickie.
Does help.
Gin. Yeah, that's what I would go for.
Why did you say that close to the mic? Does gin help?
Just because I really want to hear it, because it's so lovely.
Gin does help. I just put gin in my lemonade tonight.
But, oh, good work. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Next question. What are you drinking?
Woo! I'm drinking lemonade.
Oh, Ben, what are you drinking?
I'm trying to be good again. I'm like, I've got my water and my it's a fancy Diet Coke, we're going to call it. It's just Diet Coke. I don't know
what's fancy about thing. It.
Just because I put it in a glass instead of having it in a bottle.
Here's something funny for you. So I used to be full on addicted to Diet Coke. I was on like 6 a day, right?
Bad, I am.
So we still had it in my house, but my mum was diagnosed with diabetes a couple of years ago, and I was still drinking it, and I'd been like absolutely just caning these Diet Cokes. And I came out of hospital from that surgery in 2019, and I've not had a single Diet Coke since.
What, is it just not wanting to, or just like,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Do you know what it is? I have absolutely no idea.
That is bizarre. I love it.
Isn't it? It's really strange, and like, I just don't fancy it. I had one sip of a can about 3 weeks after I came out of hospital, because I went for blood tests, and I sometimes get a bit nauseous with blood tests, so I just had it there in case. And I didn't want it, it's just tips and tongues.
I'm like that with Archers. That makes me want to. Archers, you know that peach.
Yeah, but that's probably because you've had a bad experience on
it. Yeah, exactly, like, but that could be a bad experience on Diet Coke, wouldn't you?
It's so strange. I think it was like being at home as well, and you know, like after the thing with when you have an endo, like a laparoscopy for endo, they pump you full of gas to space all your organs out. So they pump you full of gas, and you feel very, very gassy afterwards. And like you get like that pain in your shoulder, and you meant to drink loads of peppermint tea and walk as much as you can. So I think that afterwards, like feeling like that and that bloat from the gas, I was like, I didn't want to drink anything with it.
Does the gas come out?
It does, yeah, it does. One way or the other, it comes out.
Sorry, yeah. I've lowered
this podcast taking a funny
massively
turn.
Sorry, Sinead, I'm like, welcome.
It comes out. No. But, you're meant to sort of like walk and stuff, but yeah, I stopped drinking fizzy drink. It's really random. Like, I just, every time I think back, like, I've not drank a fizzy drink now for like 18 months.
Unbelievable. Like, it's definitely one of my vices, the old Diet Coke at the moment. I kind of I don't drink that much anymore, alcohol-wise. Usually back in the day. But I had a load of problems with my liver growing up, funnily enough. And just not that I don't like alcohol. I absolutely love alcohol, but I just, I can manage without it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I've got no interest. The only I'm probably the country's worst binge drinker. So those people that talk about, oh, you should like you shouldn't go out and drink loads. As soon as I get out with the rugby lot, it's all systems go, and it's I basically don't say no to any alcoholic drink. So it's one of them. But yeah, it just yeah, I don't like don't, just try not to drink it as much anymore. So Diet Coke kind of takes over that role. And yeah, that's my the only fun. And it's not the only fun I've got in my life, but I'm just saying that's the drink of choice at the moment. Em's flat out on the Brew Dogs every week at the moment.
I've got a slight obsession. I'm not sponsored by them, may I add, but I've got a slight obsession with all the types of Brew Dogs. So I'm just trying this new duo Polis. Oh. Yeah, it's just I go for the pretty cans, if you can see.
I like that. You know what? I'm not a beer drinker, but my dad just had is it the Lost Planet Brew Dog and said it was really nice.
You should, yeah. So this is like it's hopped up modernist milkshake. It's not a milkshake. I don't know where they got that from, but I like them. We've got a Brew Dog in Bristol, and I think in the bit of lockdown that we could get out, we went there and it was just like so nice to have a beer.
I think they're building a hotel in Manchester.
We'll be up. Don't worry. We'll come and see you.
Definitely will be, won't you?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
So if you, with lockdown, have you coped with it? Have you still been working? You still been doing all of that?
I have still been working. I've been quite busy, really. So I was saying to someone today, it's really funny, because I moved into my house this time last year, just before it all happened. Bought my first home and moved into it because I just got my furniture. It came like 2 weeks. I know. And the worst bit was my table got delivered, but they didn't deliver my chair.
Brilliant.
They got held up because of COVID.
Oh.
So they didn't deliver my chairs. So that was great fun. But yeah, I've still been working. So I work in financial litigation at an international law firm. I actually was in commercial real estate and we fell quite quiet because of COVID. So I got put on a secondment internally to a different team and then ended up moving jobs permanently. So
are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's litigation is very different to what I used to do. In terms of it's quite fast paced, there's a lot of deadlines, quite a heavy caseload, but I do really enjoy it. Yeah, it's really good fun. I like the team that I work with and you know, keeps me busy and things. So sometimes I feel like during lockdown, I've not had a moment to sort of do stuff myself because I sit on all these committees outside of work as well to do with junior lawyers. And, you know, obviously the pandemic really affected junior lawyers. So sort of that as well, like taking that into account, you'd have Zoom calls on a weekend and things. And then by the time that's all done, you were Zoomed out.
Yeah.
The pandemic has hit the young people the hardest, hasn't it, by far. I think as a nation and society, we're kind of underestimating the impact it's actually having. Not just the youngsters at school. We're talking about the guys that have just left universities up to the age of 25, 26, 27, all the way up to 30, really, that actually is having a massive, massive impact on their lives in terms of buying houses, in terms of finances, in terms of jobs, everything. We're going to feel this ripple effect for quite a few years yet to come. And I think a little bit more needs to be done for the young people. And I don't want to make this show political in any way, shape or form. So I'm going to dodge that bullet as soon as we possibly can. it's an interesting one, isn't it? I wanted to speak to you about really briefly. I say briefly because this is going to go. And I know it's going to go.
Oh, no. He's warned us.
No, this is the warning. I wanted to talk to you about Instagram. And I'm really interested to know why you started an Instagram page around golf. What was the whole thought process behind it? Because I find that really interesting. I find it fascinating because so many Instagram pages have popped up since the lockdown has all started. I'd like to know it from your side. Why did you start? Do you enjoy it? Do you not enjoy it? All those sorts of things. Let's go.
I started my Instagram in January 2019. So then I went back 2020, sorry.
We'll be like, okay, 2019.
Losing track for the years there. So I started Instagram in January 2020, and it was because obviously I sort of started playing at the time for my boyfriend at the time, and we broke up. And
is that because you got better than him at golf?
So we broke up in sort of November, December, and you know, didn't really know anyone that played, and actually someone that I knew from university was playing, and he set up an Instagram. And I said it was pretty cool, and he was like, you should do one. And I was like, no, no one would care if I did one. And he's like, no, do it. He's like, it's really good for like tracking your progress. And you know, I found when me and him broke up that it was just as I had my surgery as well and stuff, and you know, when I recover from something like that, sometimes I get quite anxious because, you know, like missing time off work and going back into the office and thinking people will have assumptions about what's gone on and things. So I was in
I was just gonna say, when you almost have too much time to think, that's when we're our own worst enemies at times, aren't we? And we become, we overthink things. I don't know what it is as the human race or as creatures as ourselves. When we start overthinking things, we think the wildest things and we're just like, yeah, that's got to be true. So when you walk into your workplace for the first time again, your brain's going 100 miles an hour. I don't know why we do it. It's just bizarre. But anyway, carry on.
it was very much like that case. And, you know, I started to think, like after he'd said, like, maybe you should start one. I was like, oh, maybe I should. So my whole thought process behind it was, you know, broken up with the person that I sort of started this for, as well as starting it for my dad. But I was like, the only person I know that plays is my dad. So I kind of just want to meet some pretty cool people that share my interest. And, you know, hopefully maybe I'll meet people near me or just people that I can go and play with, that women, men, young people, older people, I don't really care. But it was just a sort of, I want to meet people in this community, but I didn't know the best way to go about that.
And how have you found that, has it kind of worked? Is it a different group of people than you thought you would have? Or
100% worked, I would say. I mean, I have you guys for a start.
Yeah.
I have met some amazing people. I mean, one of the first people that I met when I started through Instagram, I've not met her physically, but was Northern Girl Goal.
Northern Girl
Emma Martin.
Yeah.
Who I just absolutely adore because she's just been there since I first started. So she's just kind of been by my side. Like,
where does she live? Not to kind of give the, is she, she's a, Northeast. Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay.
So her, I mean, Lauren, obviously, there's just some amazing people that I've just connected with and, you know, really built a relationship with, mm-hmm. that I just absolutely adore. I mean, the guys from the San Miguel Golf Society.
Yeah.
There's just brilliant people out there that, I don't know, you would never have crossed paths with them if it wasn't for golf. And, like, that's what I love about it, that everyone's from so many different walks of life, background, and you can just get to know different people. I'm quite a people person, so anytime I can speak to someone new, I'm like, talk to me.
I do also think most of the time people are the true set themselves most of the time on Instagram. Obviously sometimes it's almost like they've got their own second person, you know, like Beyonce's got Sasha Fierce. It's almost like sometimes people use Instagram as that is them, and other people have got this, what do you call it when you've got this alter ego, is it?
Yeah, that's the word.
And they're a whole different ball game. And you just think, actually, I'm not sure I would want to meet you in real life because you're just quite scary.
Well, I figured out that obviously Big Ben Golf was probably my alter ego at first. That's what I assumed. So, the narcissist within was like, oh yeah, people might want to know what my golf game's about and what I'm up to. And like, yeah, love that. But then I really quickly realized that being yourself is way more important than trying to be something that you're not. And that's what I like about it, is the fact that
funny you say that though. I don't know if you guys remember this. I didn't start my account with my name associated to it.
Didn't you?
No. What was your?
I didn't know that.
What did you start with? No.
Yeah, I started as Average Gal Golf.
Of course you did. No.
That was me. And I only told people my name in about June, July.
Yeah. Yes. That rings a bell. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the deal with that then? Why did you just decide that?
So I unfortunately just had a really bad experience a couple of years ago with someone on my private Instagram being quite harassing. So I was quite like, I don't want to put my name to this yet until
it's done.
I'm comfortable. And it was also just about, and it just became a really funny thing of people were obsessed with knowing my name. So it was very much like, particularly maybe more so when women spoke to me as well at first, I would be like, by the way, my name is Sinead. because I just didn't want
press.
It was bizarre. People were upset. I probably got Instagram stories hiding in my archive where I was like, okay, go on, just for fun, guess my name.
You should have just made every time up a different name and a different accent and a different, just a different persona every time.
It was funny. I think it was just like a confidence thing for me and, you know, trying to get past that negative experience I've had in the past with Instagram because we're all the good.
Do you have many negative experiences now or?
A couple.
Be honest.
Yeah, a couple.
Mainly there was a post last summer that got mostly positive comments but got a lot of negative comments, and a lot of the negative comments were related to my figure and my upper body area.
Your hair?
The boobs got a lot of hate last summer.
And is that men and women, or is that just anyone that's going at it, or is it just...
So all of that was mostly men, actually. I had a guy
that
ironically put a comment that was like, I wasn't in a bikini, so I didn't know anywhere he got from. I was just a really nice Adidas outfit that I bought that I really loved. I absolutely adored it. I remember I just like, this is the best golf outfit I've ever had. And he was like, I hate following all these girls that, you know, were just posting pictures of them in bikinis playing golf. And I was like, clicked on his account and went to look at it, and he just followed those accounts that do that.
You're just a perv.
I was just like, the irony of that. And like, I also, it's really hard sometimes when you do see that, whether it's coming from a man or a woman, and they're commenting on your figure or how you look. Like, someone put it really like clearly to me that a couple of weeks ago, I think it was on Clubhouse actually, and was like, we're all children of a mother. We have a mother, and you know, would you want someone to speak to your mother that way, or to your sister, or to your daughter? You know, I certainly wouldn't want anyone to speak to, like, I've got
absolutely
nieces.
Not.
I wouldn't want them to speak to my nieces like that. And, you know, I think on that post as well, I remember the one thing that was so nice to see was there's so many people that kind of jumped in and went, that's not right. And men as well. It's not, and I think this is the thing, you see that there's people saying, women are slow, women are this, women are that, and saying that it's all coming from men. And I think that's wrong, because we talk about wanting to get gender equality in the game, and we do, but you get people out there that sort of belittle men in the process of doing that, and I just don't think that's how we get gender equality, because whether it's a man or a woman that makes one small narrow-minded comment, it doesn't mean the rest of the gender are making that comment.
So I
couldn't agree with you more. Me and Emma have conversations about this, not on even on podcasts, but chats in general. And one thing that kills me about social media in general is when people just assume that it is all men that are like that. And Emma will tell you that I'm far from anything like that. And it upsets me that, none of this is about me at all, by the way, it upsets me that we get kind of tarred with that brush. Yeah. And it frustrates the hell out of me. And I know we're getting better. I know things are getting better. I know men are learning that actually we can't just sexualize everything, absolutely everything on Instagram. We can't just come out with what we want to say. And not what we want to say. That's not the right way of putting that. But we can't just come out with anything that we feel like saying without the worry of offending somebody.
Like, no, and there's a consequence, isn't there?
Yeah, like the fact that somebody's questioning you about your figure or what you're wearing. Why have I got the right to do that? I haven't got the right to do that. Why do I think that's okay? That's what annoys me more. Why do these people think that it's okay to put somebody down? Because they wouldn't do it to your face. They wouldn't do it to your face in the slightest. But because they're hiding behind a computer screen or a phone screen or a keyboard, they feel like they're invincible. They can say what they want. I had an argument with somebody the other day, and somebody was saying that they felt like, well, they're putting it out there, so they've got to expect it. And I'm like, really, should they? No, I don't think that's the case.
The other day I saw one that I was in a group chat where someone had made a YouTube video saying that women about golf TikToks going viral, and how women's golf TikToks will go viral if they're a woman with a butt, and you know, a woman with a butt that plays golf. And then they went through TikTok and purposely sort of picked out these videos maybe of people, you know, dressing a little bit sexier, but there's other women out there that are putting out content that they're grafting to put out in their golf pros. They're people like Rachel Queen that does amazing TikToks, yet they didn't show any of hers.
Yeah.
In chat, it was said, you know, if I was a girl in a crop top playing golf, I'd have loads of followers. I was like, excuse me, hello?
Do you know what this scary thing is? So there's this brilliant website now, and it's just about finding like women golf pros. And so I had to try and find the name of it because I've like linked my bio to it. And I found, when you Google women golf pros, do you know what the top kind of five or six things are that is Googled? Hottest female, hottest female golfer, female golfer model, hottest female golfer 2018, golf women, best looking female golfer of all time, LPGA players and ladies golf on TV. I literally typed in find a woman PGA pro. And that's what is wrong with just like, where's the inspiration there for a 13 or 14 year old girl?
Those search engines are generated obviously by the most common searches, aren't they?
That's evidence what's the scary enough thing
in itself to say, oh, there we go. And I know we touched on this briefly with Lauren, guilty of golf, for people that don't know who Lauren is, but they should do because of all the obvious things. And she was mentioning about, because you can see your insights, can't you, on Instagram, who follows you, male to female ratios and all sorts. And she was mentioning it's like 85% male follower on Instagram, and there's only like 15% that are women. And so I did a little bit of research, didn't I? So I can put them out later on because I took the screenshots of it all, but without going into too much detail, there was, I'm going to have to look them up actually as we're talking because I've got them screenshotted here.
Here you go, so I've got 15.7 women.
Yeah, so if you hear, that's actually quite a good number when Ben...
In total, Instagram... bar the one, or in fact there's not even a whole percent, it's like point percentages, it's 50-50 male and female or gender neutrals across the board, basically wherever you want to be, in terms of the age groups, so 13 to 17, 18 to 24, 25, all the usual age groupings. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, well, surely that's just proves that the fact that Lauren's got 84%, you've got 85% that are all male followers, which is absolutely fine. They probably want to see your content, obviously. But then I looked into thinking, oh, actually, how many men actually play golf compared to women? Just to figure out, because there's obviously a little bit more evidence that can support that. In England, so this is just England, because I didn't do anything else, is 84% of registered golf players are adult males. 84%. So then that would almost lend itself to, is there more male golfers on Instagram?
I would imagine there is.
There's got to be, hasn't there?
Yeah.
Like, if you look through the stuff that I follow, there'd be a very small amount that are female golfers. Not because I'm trying to search out male golfers, of course, because I think, oh, men's game or whatever. It's just because I see loads more men's stuff. It's always popping up. And then 13% are adult females. It's only 13%, which shocked me. I thought it was more than that. The fact there's only 13% of all golfers in England are only female, which is scary. And then 3% are registered juniors, which scared me again. I was like, why is there only 3% of juniors playing golf? But anyway, so I looked into it last time. And not that it's an eye-opener at all. It kind of makes a little bit of sense, doesn't it? But I'm obviously not a female.
What's your insights, Ben? What's in, Sinead, what did you say your numbers were? Sorry.
So 15.7% are women.
Yeah, so that's, like Ben was saying, that's kind of like average. Well, I would say
pretty good. It used to be about 12%, so it's gone up. But I wonder if it's partly gone up because I'm on Clubhouse meeting all these amazing women, not necessarily golf, but just these amazing, like, super-powered women that are all, like, amazing and inspiring. So I have I've got a few women followers from there. I will say, though, I think that there's more women playing golf now because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
There's one
in the last 18 months, I generally think we're about to.
So that data was from the November 2020.
I wonder what it would have been.
But I think originally, like back in the day, I know that's back in the historian time, was just kind of, it was like 8 or 9% women.
That's better than it was, yeah.
So it's getting better.
We've almost doubled it in 20 years. So if you think in another 20 years, if we can double it again. Yeah. But it doesn't take a year. We're talking kind of inspiring a generation, which I know is corny or whatever people say, but it is, if you inspired a 13-year-old now in 13 years time when they're 26, do you like the maths? They're kind of the ones that are the ones that we're talking to now, really. So I think that we just don't inspire enough of those kind of 25 to 40 year old, I would say.
But so my insights, Sinead, I was a bit behind there. My insights are 87.8% men and 12.2% women. So
that's pretty good.
I thought I'd have less women looking at what I'm about, but obviously they're like my cards as well.
You cast rocket, am I allowed to say that?
I can't help it. I literally can't help it. I'm really sorry. And the fact that I wear shorts at the time obviously is my fault because I'm putting them out there on show all the time as well, aren't I?
Yeah. Sorry, Sinead, what were you gonna say?
Sorry.
Yeah, I do think sometimes the issue with keeping or getting women interested in the game is, you know, people go and they start these accounts and they start on Instagram to, you know, document their journey and do what I did, meet women that play. That's often what people say to me. I wanted to meet more women that play, but there's these derogatory comments or this view of people on Instagram and how people perceive people should look, and it's not very realistic, is it? And, you know, I think that puts people off joining the game because, you know, people then think, well, am I the right kind of person that should play this sport? But it's not like that. It's not. Yeah. And you have those accounts that promote that.
The scary thing is, so obviously I've had a lot of time because I've not been working. So you could kind of read articles and stuff. And I think the PGA did an article that, like, other PGA pros could read. The highest barrier from women joining golf clubs, I 100% would have thought it was other men, but it was actually other women. Which, yeah. Don't you find that?
I find that scary.
Is horrendous. But again, you've talked about...
How do they prove that? How do they justify that? That it's
other women? So they did this, they've done a massive questionnaire with, I think it was Love Golf. It's like this brand who are trying to promote women's golf with coaching. And I think, so they got questionnaires, the women did, and it was like, what are the fears and barriers? And I think, so taking social media out of the equation, because obviously going to a golf club is the getting out of your comfort zone anyway. It was just joining a golf club that had friendly females, which you kind of talked about already, Sinead. But I had it like the other, I don't know if it's last year, the year before. So I've worked at Kensington now 5 years and I've loved every minute of it. And our ladies section, for a ladies section, is wicked. And we had a women's open. And I must have walked past about 15 women and not one of them acknowledged me. And I raged. I raged on Instagram. I was like, are you kidding? But you just think, if they can't say hello, what hope have we got of just like newer generation playing golf?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's sad. Like, I've got a 6-year-old daughter that I am trying to get into golf. And when I say trying, it's not because she doesn't want to play it, because I'm fighting the gymnastics that's happening from my wife. My wife does gymnastics. And And it is quite disheartening for me and for her, actually, because she knows you, Emma, doesn't she? She knows you pretty well. She'll say hello to you and what have you. She always asks, oh, am I going to go with Emma? And I'm like, oh, actually, it's Tom. And Tom is amazing, don't get me wrong. But for a female 6-year-old girl that's going to a golf lesson that she's the only girl at, and there's 6 or 7 different boys in the session, and she's just questioning straight away, where are the women? Like, where are the girls? Because she's 6 years old, she doesn't understand all everything else that's going on. It's quite intimidating for her. But in a way, it's
quite good that, because there's this argument, like, if you put a mixed group together at that age, they grow up better in golf and they don't know any different, which that was what happened with me. I was the only girl. There was only 6 of us in the whole of the county when I started playing golf in the county. I know it's a few years ago now, but all of the lads at the golf club looked after me. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. And you just think that if we could get them all mixed in younger, would that help? I don't know.
I do think, like, from a male's point of view, if you're with a girl in a group of sports sessions, you do end up becoming like the little sister figure or the sister figure of the group, and they will protect you to the hilt, won't they? Yeah. That's what lads are like. Lads become very protective very quickly, don't they? Which is a good thing. I just think from my daughter's point of view, it's the fact that I just wanted to see another girl there. That's all.
Yeah.
Just so she knows that. Because if you flip that on the head, if you went, because my wife's got the gymnastics club, if you went there, it's the complete opposite there. Yeah. In terms of there's just hundreds of little girls running around and there's hardly any males. I say there's hardly any. There's actually quite a few. But in terms of the sessions that she does, it's an all-girls group. So she sees loads of girls there and just associate, oh, gymnastics is a girl's sport. Whereas actually it's not. We know it's not, but in her head, that's the thing. Whereas for golf, she's like, am I playing a boys' sport? And it's like, no. No, absolutely not. But it's, do you know what I mean? I just like to see more women. And like you say, Kendershire has got a great women's section. They terrify the life out of me because I feel like I'm annoying them at every opportunity because I'm loud and all sorts, but they're brilliant. They are fantastic.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm like, no.
Not at all. I thought you were going to say something. I was waiting for something.
I was just thinking, not at all. No. You go for it, Ben. You go for it. This is what we do. Can you note that down? Get rid of that bit.
I'm keeping that bit in. Like, okay. So in terms of your Instagram then, where are you hoping to go with it? What are you trying to achieve? Is it literally just to keep a track of what you're doing, or is there anything, have you never even thought about it? I know that's a big question because the reason I ask that is because it's pretty evident with a lot of Instagram accounts that they're not, there's a hidden agenda, but there's an agenda in terms of what they want to achieve from it, which is absolutely fine. No issue with that. The only issue I have, like we all have, is the ones that are pretending to be something that they're actually not, but we won't talk about that just yet.
Go on, Ben.
What's that?
Go on.
Okay,
please don't start him on
that. I can start naming things. If you want. No, I'm joking. I just wondered if there is something that you're trying to achieve from it, or it is just a bit of fun to keep your brain off of other things.
When I started it, it was genuinely a bit of fun because, you know, knew nobody. I just wanted golf friends, and now I have lots of golf friends. There's no hidden agenda with it, I'll say that. Like, what you get on my Instagram is very much me, and you either love me or you hate me.
Hate's a strong word, my dear. Hate's a strong word.
Well, okay, you love me or you dislike me.
Yeah, that's...
I am a very open and honest person. I'm very sort of straight to the point, maybe a bit too blunt sometimes, but I will never hide my view. I'm happy to express my view and my opinion, and, you know, something's wrong, call it out and things. But I think for me, the only thing I want to do now I have a bit of a following out there is educate people on endometriosis. And that's just because, and it's not a constant thing, but, you know, it means a lot to me because 1 in 10 women have it. And it's not just endometriosis, you know, there's people out there with other chronic invisible illnesses that want to get into golf or they're playing golf at the moment, but they've experienced some of the things I've had, which are like, why don't you go out and play on the course that much and stuff, and calling out that I'm at the range. But you know, people don't necessarily see what's behind the Instagram, which is, you know, I have those days I am struggling so bad to walk with my pain that I can't even go to the range to enjoy it. But when my pain is sort of minimal but I'm not feeling great, the range is great because I can go for half an hour and then do as much or as little as I want. And if I go out, you know, for 9-18 holes and I'm in pain, I put myself in a significant disadvantage when I get home because I struggle then even more with worse pain. So, you know, if I can help support people that are experiencing any kind of difficulty with a disability or a chronic illness, you know, that's really important to me. And that is the only thing I would love to continue doing with this account, is supporting those people that, you know.
Is there any charities? Is there any endo charities?
There is, yeah. Endometriosis UK is the UK endometriosis charity.
That's, have you got links with them?
No, I don't really have links with them, actually. They do run like support groups and stuff across the UK. They have local support groups and you can get those online. But I'd love to do more with them.
You should run a charity day. It's actually a lot easier than you think. Like,
I don't know about that.
Well, I come on, your brain about that. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's definitely like, and it's, like I said, it's not just even for endo. But I mean, what's actually quite nice, it's Endometriosis Awareness Month this month. So
is it?
See, you need to just vomit that out massively. Yeah.
If I could pronounce it, I'd talk about it all the time.
I just think I always just
endo.
Positive with my account. There's never any like selfish gain there or anything. I've had some, like, sitting here and talking with you guys is just such an amazing opportunity to do this and speak to you guys. Lovely. But it is to me, and that's like, it's so special to be asked, and you know, I really appreciate that and value it. And I don't know, it's just, there's never been any, I'm in this for XYZ. That doesn't bother me, like, just whether it's 6 people or 6,000 that are following, it doesn't matter, because ultimately the people that stick around are the people you want to have a relationship with and the people you value the most, aren't they? So
no, I think that's a really good way of putting it. Yeah, that's awesome. Like, well, obviously we appreciate having you in. I just wanted to put it out there that it's no coincidence that the people are being asked to come on are being asked to become to come on, and we're asking these people because we
feel
like that heroes, and they've got something to share that we want to listen to. Not the same old dross repeated on a, I'm going to go off on one here.
Do it like this, Ben, because it sounds so much better.
The people that repeat their posts on a daily basis, talking about things that they think they know all about. Just the uneducated people that just think, I'm not going to go into it because I'm going to slag somebody off and I'm going to mention a name and we'll be down a drain pipe. Because it just frustrates me. I've definitely got the filter applied because I know my mouth goes and then we'll be in a whole world.
I can't even kick him under the table from here.
Sometimes mine does too, so I get that.
I think because I didn't want to bang on about stuff like that, but it's not about Instagram in general, but social media bothers me because the opportunity to become a troll, it's just so easy and it annoys me. And the opportunity to pretend to be something that you're actually not annoys me as well, more than the trolls at times. And I think that's terrible. And I just feel like it shouldn't be about that. It should definitely be about us all sharing our experiences and all of us learning from everyone and figuring out things. And those agendas that we talk about before, I'm happy for people to have their agendas. Just be up front about it. Just be honest about it and say, look, actually, I want to do that. And there's a lot of people doing that. And I absolutely love their stuff. Like, I wouldn't follow you if I didn't think that was the case. But those people that... Because they're
painful. We've unfollowed.
It's just... not that I'm trying to slag anybody off either. It just... No. I feel like... And not only that, it's well within your right to unfollow somebody as well if you want to. Like, there's no hard feeling. It's nothing personal. It's just the fact that your content's annoying me. And because I mentioned this because somebody this last week has had, somebody I've spoken to over Instagram and thing has had a bit of backlash and stuff like that, and had some bad vibes is probably the best way of putting it, just because they've unfollowed somebody. And I'm like, that's, you're right. You just because you've unfollowed, like if you've unfollowed me tomorrow, Sinead, I wouldn't blame you. But
I know where you live.
But you kind of, I wouldn't text you or phone you and say, "Oh, wait a minute, what's going on here?"
People do that.
And this, what I want to, the point I'm trying to get to is right that I. Because you know my working background, and I care about people a lot, and I'm obsessed with the way people do things and why they do things. And for obvious reasons, there's a lot of insecurities on Instagram, and it's obvious on a daily basis. You see these people with all their insecurities trying to put out their, to try and kind of make themselves feel a little bit better, which I have no issue with. I actually prefer that I know that there's something going on. You can tell. What I do worry about is they're kind of trying to source their help for these insecurities in the wrong places.
Yeah.
And social media is definitely not the place.
But that's what I was going to say. Do you think that people are using, I mean, to be fair, if it wasn't, I got to the point last summer when people were like, Jesus, I mean, you're on social media all the time. And if it wasn't for social media, I think I would have really, really struggled. Well, and I don't know if that's their outlet, if that's the only thing they've got is just chuck random stuff out, because it's habit and it's like an obsession at the end of the day.
No, I agree. I think, sorry Sinead, I know you were going to talk then, give me 1 second, I promise.
You have to go.
I don't have any issue with that, but I have an issue with, no, it's not even an issue, I just, because let's put it this way, people are really quick to tar us all with the same brush, saying, oh, if you do this, if you do that, you're an attention seeker, you're this, you're that. And actually, there's always a reason why people are attention seeking. There's something there that they need to have addressed, or we need to figure out together. So basically what I'm trying to say is that if you feel like somebody looks like they're having a bad time, or they're searching for something they're not getting from their post or something, just DM them and say, look, how are you doing? You all right? You all right? Because I quite happily do that. And I've done it a few times with people, and I'm not going to mention names. And I've spoken to a few people on Instagram that I've never met before, and had that conversation, and the messages that you get back are like this, and what they're struggling with. It's not that I'm trying to be some kind of warrior on Instagram to save everybody. It's just, it didn't take 2 minutes to have a conversation with somebody. And rather than putting them down in the comments saying, well, fucking, they're always war again then, it's rather than this and having a go at them and what have you, just say that you're all right. How's your day been? How's your week been? I think that's really important. And you know, I'm quite like that anyway. And I'm on the
Instagram. Ben is pretty good at checking in. You'll get that, Sinead, every week now. He's going to check in with you.
Important. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors with people. And like, we all put this, we put on sort of a rose tinted glasses with Instagram, and you know, we put out what's the best of us. But how often do we put out what's the worst of us as well?
Yeah.
Like, the bad stuff. And I would like to think I'm not afraid to do that and admit when I'm having a bad day and saying, you know, listen, I feel a bit rubbish today, anxiety is all over the place, and I'm a bit stressed with work, and I don't feel afraid to do that. And again, likewise with the recovery from my surgery and stuff, even though obviously my account wasn't live then, I reflect back on that. So people can see, fine, I've got my makeup on now, you know, and I've got my headband in and I look cute. But right, some days I have those days I don't feel very cute, and I sit in my PJs and I've not showered my hair for 4 days because I just don't
feel... We've all been there. Don't worry about it. We've all been there.
You know what? But like, I don't feel great. And I sit there with my hot water bottle, and you know, when I've got my cysts and the pain, my skin breaks out and I feel kind of rubbish. But you know what? Just me, you know, that's just who I am. And I think the good, bad and the ugly, whether that's what you're going through with maybe your health or something like that, and or just, you know, you hit a crap golf shot.
Yeah. Stop, which I can really, I can really relate to that. Well, I say relate to it, I can empathize, sympathize. I can't ever remember which way. I should know which one to the right way around, but because it's my blooming job day in, day out, I can't even remember off the top of my head. But I'm basically trying to say that Instagram is a really good kind of indicator of that, because how many Instagram posts do you see of people putting up their bad shots?
I think more people should. I think that should be the challenge. Like, yeah. March the 29th, I'm sure.
I avoid them like the plague. I honestly avoid them. But at the same time, there's a... And I'm not going to mention his name because I know he listens to this, because I've spoken to him about it in the past. And he posted not so long ago, you may know him in the top of your head, about not being able to see his son on his birthday on one of his stories. He popped in. I don't know if you saw it. And I don't know whether he got any grief about it or somebody's commented on one of his stories or something, but the very next day he wrote this long apology about having to speaking about it. He's not normally like this and blah, blah, blah. And I looked at it and I was like, why are you having to apologize for the fact that you didn't get to see your son on his birthday? Like, if you feel like you need to put that out there, put it out there. There's no bloody right of anybody else's to comment about that and at all. It just,
and if they do, at the end of the day, are they the people you want associated to your account?
Yeah.
This is what I wanted to ask you earlier. Yeah. Do you, as soon as you get a negative, do you block them, unfollow them, or do you just leave them where they are? I'd really like to know that.
So last summer, especially last summer, I was very much like calling people out.
Oh, call it a screenshot.
I don't know if you've ever seen it. Every summer, all summer, like when I was getting negative comments, I'd screenshot it and I'd put it in my story so that other people could see.
Instagram kind of warrior, yes, yeah, love it.
And what did you get? What happened about that? Did you get like much, many, like were people like, yeah, or people like, yeah?
I did get quite a few people supporting it. Obviously, the one that sort of unfollowed, but I did have people supporting it. There's actually a video and it is probably in the archive now, and I'll dig it out.
Dig it out.
But this, I'll send you it both. But this was when, so basically, the night the post went up about the Adidas golf outfit, it was really great. It made my boobs look fantastic. I went to my neighbour's garden, because this is when we could drink in people's gardens, and I got quite drunk on Prosecco. And I'm very sort of strict with how I spend my time on Instagram. I don't have any notifications on for anything besides WhatsApp, for my own mentality, otherwise my phone would just be pinging. So my notifications were off and I came back to 1,000 likes on the picture.
Wow.
Yeah, it's my most liked picture on Instagram. Let's see what it's on now. But it was and there was loads of comments. And then I was obviously quite drunk. So I was doing a video about all these comments I was getting on my boobs. And I was like, got a pair of boobs. Get over it. Like, who cares? And then, I was sort of calling people out.
All right, I can actually remember this. You had a reel of stories that were like, and you could tell you that at Prosecco. And I can you remember this, Em?
No, but I really wish you could play them back.
I probably can get it back. I think it's in the eye.
Please, can you replay it? Just because I'd love to see it.
159 comments, 1,290.
Wow. Isn't it scary, like, in terms of what you put out there? So you, the inspiration, you're playing golf, you're hitting golf balls, you want to get into golf, you want to, like, promote women's golf, and that is the picture gets the most likes. But I'm not, you know, totally...
My impressions off that picture, because, you know, you can look at your pictures, 29,500 impressions. 19 saves, I can't see the shares anymore, and 935 profiles.
Can I just say, why do they save it? Obviously, they want to.
But I remember the video. I'd had a couple of drinks, and I was just calling people out left, right, and centre, because I was like, you know what? I'm standing for it. And I was like, sharing who was being asked to share in the screenshots. So it's like, accounts, and maybe that's not the right approach, and I don't really do that anymore. You abuse Ben or you abuse Emma on your account, and I saw I followed them, I'd probably unfollow them, because I don't want to be associated like that. So So I was just, you know, spreading it out there. These people were doing that, and I've not had much recently. There's a couple of instances of people that have just behaved a bit bizarrely, and because my anxiety or
like behaviorally, what just being weird.
Yeah, people that have gone from being on the spectrum of, you know, being friendly to then being a bit weird and off and rude and me messaging on different accounts and things, and that just triggers me a little bit from a bad experience I had a couple of years ago with on my private social media. And if it starts to trigger me and how I feel and it starts to make me feel panicky, I just get it out, because, you know, there's no point in dwelling on it. But I know that if I sat on it, I would start to feel worse about myself. So that kind of stuff, I will block and remove sometimes, because, you know, it's for my own mental well-being. Ultimately, got to protect myself and how I feel. A lot tends to slide into the message requests because you don't follow those people. So that's good then, because they're in my message request, so I don't really check that. I check it very infrequently, I just get rid, you know. I don't follow them, usually they don't follow me, so. But that's where all the weird ones go as well. I have had some weird messages.
We had this conversation with Lauren not last week, the week before, and she now texts me, messages me screenshots of all these weird message requests that she gets.
Yeah, you can have I've got three. I can have one asking on a dating show. So someone clearly knew us.
not desperate.
But yes, I had one on a dating show, and then I've had a couple asking me to send things.
Oh my god, was it Ben? Was it you or Lauren that got asked to send some socks?
Yeah,
it was me.
I've been asked that too.
Like, all right, for £1,000 you can have
socks. They said they'd pay postage, which I thought that was quite cheap.
Yeah, and for a new pair of socks that were like that.
What is wrong with
you? Yeah, no, I've had that. I've also had something that was definitely a lot more X-rated, which I will share.
God. What people think is just clarty, isn't it? Just pretty clarty.
God. Ben's just like,
where do I go?
My brain's kicking off because it's really, I can't remember when it was, but I read an article or watched an article or something, I can't remember where I saw it, and it was about Omegle, you know, the video chat app thing, and it was talking about, have you seen, and they were talking, I can't remember who did it, and they basically spent a certain amount of hours on Omegle just popping through all the things, and it was something like, I can't remember anymore, but the numbers were horrific. About basically, it went on there. What is this? Omegle's like a, can you remember back in the day there used to be that thing called Chat Roulette? Remember that? Can you remember Chat Roulette?
Yeah.
It's basically that.
Yeah, right. No. You could like skip who you spoke to, speak to someone random.
Yeah, so we're basically chatting like this now, Em. Then I just press skip, and it throws a random up in your face. So it, like, you literally just talk to somebody random, and you're like, oh, there's loads of people doing random challenges. But in the space of, I can't remember how many, it was basically porn, like to try and get you to sign up to porn. There was, I think it was over 20 blokes masturbating on the screen, like literally straight off the bat. Like, that's literally. And then on top of that, there was, I think they calculated that there was over 50 people that were under the age of 18, like using it.
Wow.
So they were all this repeated, just horrificness, basically. If you go on there, in fact, next time I see you, we'll go on Omegle together and we'll count it up and do a little stat.
Tell you what, have a couple of drinks and do a podcast.
Yeah, I might have a few drinks. And then we won't put it on Fundamental.
For the private.
Okay, so we've got a couple of questions, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Deja vu. we have got a question from One Leg Scotty, who we had on the podcast last week. Lush guy, like proper hero. Best question I think I've heard so far. Who's the most iconic woman you follow on Instagram?
The most iconic woman I follow on Instagram.
Or who you see. Yeah.
Your eye is iconic.
Oh, you don't that's fine.
I was literally about to say, you know what? I am going for are you and Lauren. Hi.
You could come again next week. You can, my darling. You can.
Emma, you are just so welcoming and like friendly, and you can just back to you whenever. But you've also got so much knowledge and experience in the game. And I mean, Lauren, I just look at her account and drool over it.
I know.
Honestly, I go to my friends. I go, this is fit Lauren.
Everyone knows her as that though. Everyone is just like,
I'm like, gosh. And I'm like, and fit Lauren's my friend. I'm like, I'm so lucky. But I just look at Lauren's account, like you from the pro side. But Lauren, like, I just love her style. But I also love her as a person. I think she's very much like me, you know. Quite small talk, you can just go to her with anything, and I just love that.
But don't you think that's kind of like what people like in the normal world, people do merge with people that they're similar. Like Ben and I are like freakishly similar, I would say, and over the years I think we've got even more similar. But I do feel I do feel like we're all like little bubbles. I'm not using bubbles now, tribes. I've heard it called tribes, that we're all part of this one massive tribe that are similar.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think for me, like you say, like I think you can instantly be asked that kind of question, who's the most iconic account you follow, and you go for those people with the big followers and the big connections and big brands behind them. But for me, it's the people I build a relationship with on an everyday basis.
That's cool.
Thank you, and Lauren.
You're beautiful. Yeah,
I'm envious of Lauren's post as well as
everyone is.
The golf hipster as well, Kieran. Do you know Kieran? They're both of them. Every time they post, I actually almost don't want to look at it because they make me realise how uncool I really am. Like, I literally just look at it, I'm like,
it's like Lauren's style as well. Like, so Lauren's style for me, I absolutely love it. But I'm like, would I pull that off? No, because I'm like 5'5" and a huge carry.
I said I look like a fat weeble today when I was like, I'm not standing with you for at least another year. I'm sitting down and the camera's up here, not sitting.
With a high angle, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the same with that. Like, I'm literally, not I'm trying to jump on the bandwagon, but I'm literally twice as wide as most male golfers. So every time I'm trying to find any clothes or anything that fit for golf, I'm like, I really struggle. It's hilarious. So I feel like I bet the size of a small school minibus.
But you have lost weight, Ben, because you've been running.
Only a little bit. I have been running a lot.
You've been losing it. It's all good.
But it's still a bloody lump.
I feel like a lump at the moment. Yeah, so that's a really good question, and thank you for the answer.
I like that question.
Who's your most iconic man? Is it Ben?
No, it's not Ben. It's not Ben. I don't post enough anymore to be able to claim that.
Who is my most iconic man? That's a good question, actually.
I added that one in. That was my brain.
I've added that one in, and that's very off the cuff and unexpected. So I'll tell you who I do absolutely love. And it's, again, it's a personal relationship thing. I absolutely adore Warren Hale of the Average Golf.
They're cutes, though. Yeah.
I absolutely adore him, and we have a really incredible friendship. And he rings me, you know, and we chat all the time. And I think, again, like I said, like for me, icons are people I have these great relationships with that, you know, check in when you're not feeling great. And he's that person that does that for me.
So, you said that's the Amateur Golf Collective?
Average Golf Society. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, you broke up. Average Golf Society. I'm just writing it down.
Yeah. So I think for me, like, they are definitely just, because they're just so friendly again and welcoming. And I mean, obviously my golf pro's fantastic. He does good stuff on
Who's your golf pro? Do you want to give him a big...
Well, so I have two, which is quite strange for people. They both know. So Tom Fearon, who's at Trafford Golf, and then I have Dave McKinnon at Chawton.
Trafford Golf? I went there. What a facility.
Literally 10 minutes from my house.
Shut up.
Is that Dave that's on Liam's blooming post?
Yes, Dave that's on Liam's post.
Have you seen him?
Him.
No,
he's clever. He's very to the point and very just.
Very
northern.
Very northern. Yeah, Dave's great. Dave's very northern and Tom's very scouse. So we've got both ends of the spectrum.
Do you find your accent changes whoever you're with? Like, if you're like more scousery or more Manchester or.
So I lived in Liverpool for 7 years anyway.
There is a twang.
Is there?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's so funny because people from Manchester can't really place my accent.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not very strong Mancunian. Sometimes goes a little bit more Mancunian when I talk to my mum, but I think that's because I spent a couple of years at school in Shropshire, so been all over the show.
I went to college, and my best friend at college, well, one of my best friends at college was from the Wirral, and I literally, my accent, so I had a friend from there, a friend from London, a friend from Yorkshire. My parents are Scottish, so I would come home at weekends and it'd be like, geez, Emma, where are you from? Because it would just be like, hey, I'm CSU. Yeah,
that's really interesting. Because
yeah, no, you definitely, I was going to say Liverpudlian or kind of
really?
That.
That's so, so interesting because I've not lived there now for, gosh, nearly 2 years.
I wouldn't say it was like really noticeable, so don't get a complex around about
yeah.
it.
Don't worry, I don't.
It is.
Yeah, the there is definitely.
I have with my voice is I'm like, I sound like a man. I don't know why I think
no,
that.
You do not.
I don't know why I think that.
God.
Right.
Right, darling, there we go. I don't know, I went all London.
I don't know why I always thought that, but it's all those things. I think you hate listening to your voice back.
Oh, right? Absolutely. So. Well, it's a good job we started a podcast, isn't it?
Quality tech, though.
No, you're right. The accent thing, because I'm not originally from the Southwest. I'm from the Midlands, the West Midlands. And my nan still lives up there. So every time I speak to her on the phone, I go full Brummie. Full Brummie. Right, mate. How am you? And I find the same whenever I speak or listen to Scott, probably had on last week because he's from that way as well. Dan from Far From Par Golf, whenever it's his stuff, I'm just like, oh, it just like feels like I'm being at home. And same with Ellie Perks as well. The her accent cracks me up because she actually lives very close to where I lived. So I see her at the golf courses. I'm like, oh, that's where I'm from. That's what they're in it. That accent is hilarious. But my parents, we moved down here. I was 16 at the time, but my dad is full Brummie still, like full on. Yeah. My mum is a bit like, all right, how's it going? All right, my lover, all right, you're all right. And then I kind of float all over the place. So the accent thing is quite a funny one. I can't hear you. You stopped. You froze.
No,
on the
everyone
screen.
Just went, everyone literally everyone went. Froze. Even I froze.
You just stopped talking.
No, I think that was everyone. I went,
yeah, so I've got a question for you as
whose
well.
Internet? Is that my internet? Or
no, what? It's me. It's me. Like, it's basically, we're moving house, aren't we? And we've told Sky that we're moving. I shouldn't say that. I have to edit that out. I've told Sky that we're moving out and doing
edit
all that.
The whole of this next group.
It's just the internet Wi-Fi speed has gone terrible. I bet I'm trying to find the time because I've got a timer going at the same time. Yeah, it's gone terrible because of that.
You had a question, didn't you?
Yeah, I do have a question. Basically, it's from, who is it from? I'm going to ask it because I've got to find it on Instagram because it's actually quite a good one as well. It is from, and it wasn't from the Fundamental Podcast.
I'm telling you
who
that's from as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we've got to out these people.
Yeah,
Lucas James Town. I don't know if you know who that is. Would you rather play tennis with Tiger Woods? Would you rather play tennis with Tiger Woods or golf with Roger Federer? I don't know if there's any. Do you play tennis?
Do you know what? I don't play tennis, but I've always wanted to play tennis. So I'm going to go for tennis with Tiger Woods.
Ooh,
because, yes. I mean, what's Tiger going to be like at tennis? He might be as bad as me. Probably not. I'm probably going to be awful. But also then I can pick his brains about everything golf while, you know, playing a bit of tennis.
And if he's got like a leg splint on, you might beat him. Can you delete that, please, Ben?
I'm not deleting that. I'm keeping that.
Because everyone froze, no.
I'm keeping that in. That's so funny. And then we've got a load more questions for you that are the usual, the chat that we normally give. So what's the best golf course you've ever played?
Mottram Hall.
That's a nice one.
And why?
I played it on my birthday last year on my own. What a sad. It was at a spot. I was at and I played, and it was beautiful, and it was sunny, and the front nine. I am nine, but as a beginner, I would say it's a very friendly front nine to play because it's very open. So it was actually quite nice, and there's minimal sort of places you can go too wrong. You know, the fairways are very wide. So I think as a beginner, it was just nice to A, get out there on my own and have that time to learn, but B, I really just appreciated sort of how wide those fairways were and, you know, the beauty of it. It was very nice. It's very flat as well, the front nine. I hear the back nine is quite tight, so I might change.
You were like, hate it.
Change my mind after the back nine, but yeah.
Have you played Boa Vista then? Did you play there?
I never played at Boa Vista because we've not been to Portugal since I played.
Well, that would be amazing when you do, though.
No, I would like to play at Espiche, though. I think there's a golf course, Espiche and Palmeiras. Palmeiras, I've been up and drove a buggy for my dad, and it's beautiful. Looks over the beach, so you can see the
Man. Can we do like a little tour to Portugal when we can?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God.
I got married in the Algarve, Sinead. And I've been out there loads. So I haven't played much golf out there, funny enough, but I've been to pretty much every golf course, walked around it or seen it because I didn't take my bats with me. But it's just such a nice place, isn't it? I want to make sure that we play some golf out there in the future.
And they're so friendly, like, it's just gorgeous.
Mm. Yeah, it's a lovely little place. Right, next question. I need two kind of answers from you this time because all I'm going to ask you is, if you had a golfing caddy, who would it be, as in a professional golfer or a caddy that's already a caddy, or a non-golfing caddy as well? So you get the option both, but I want an answer for both of them, if that's okay. So somebody that plays golf, somebody that doesn't play golf professionally.
Someone who plays golf professionally, Victor Hovland. I love Victor Hovland.
What about him? Just,
I just
love him.
I love Victor Hovland. Like, Victor listens to this. I hope he knows I love him.
He obviously is an avid listener. Let me
ask. No, I just love Victor Hovland. And you know what? Something I've always loved about him is how really honest he is with, like, knowing his weaknesses in his game. And I think, you know, he always sort of says that, you know, his short game's not good enough, and he'll openly say that. And I think it's refreshing to hear a pro go, you know, yeah, I'm a pro, but I'm still not great at certain aspects of it, and certain aspects need work. And I really like that because I just, I admire you for like having those weaknesses and admitting it.
It was quite recently that he came out about the old chipping, wasn't it? He said, yeah, my short game's terrible. I can't remember what interview it was now. It was quite funny. He's like, not good enough.
It was pretty recent. And I think he's really funny with it, yeah. I think non-golfing pro, my dad.
That's cool.
And like, obviously, like, he's like, it's really funny because obviously I play with him at the moment. So when I do go out and play with him, especially if I play Chawton, he'll be like, you know, this hazard's there on the left and that's the out of bounds.
Thank you, Dad.
But now he's like, he gives me usually a couple of shots on each hole. I think each hole he used to give me.
And not anymore.
Right, well, when I played one of the last times with him, it was only my fifth time on the course, I got my first par and he was like, I'm not giving you three shots anymore.
And he'll go, oh, watch the water hazard over there. That's out of bounds over there. Don't hit it at that tree. And we're like,
ah! It's one shot. So, but he has loads of experience. So,
I froze again then, didn't I? I'll edit that bit. Yeah, I'm all right. I was
both like, are you okay?
Yeah, I just had a bit of just a minute. Next question then is, four ball, they can be dead or alive, professional golfers, non-golfers, celebrities, friends, family, it can be anybody you want. Who would you have in your four ball? It has to include you, so you got to pick three basically.
Niall Horan, because I know he loves golf and I love what he said about the women's game before and sort of he wants to help grow that. Barack Obama. And Storm Keating, who is Ronan Keating's wife. Ronan Keating and his wife are actually really avid golfers.
Didn't know that.
No.
She's really big.
Did not know that.
She's really big into her golf. And Ronan Keating. So yeah, I'd love to play with Storm Keating. I just think you see her putting it out there on her Instagram and stuff, actually.
Slightly skipped then, and I thought you said Stormzy to start with, and I was like, what a cool four ball as well. That was just like, okay.
Cool four ball, imagine.
That would be quite cool. Yeah, why not? Is that the last question, Ben, or is there...
That is my last question, but I think Tiff started this question a while back. And she talked about bottling one sporting or golfing memory and so you could relive it again. Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, so it's definitely golf related because I just didn't do sport as a kid, really. So it's definitely golf related. It was when I was out in Tenerife and obviously it was my first time a golf course. And there was a there was two sort of specific memories on that trip, but one was... there was a water hazard and I was on the fairway and my dad was like, right, you know, I'll just get you over it. So, you know, help you out. And I was like, no, I'll do it. And 80 yards over the hazard. And
did you go like, get in?
My nephew lost his ball and so did my dad.
Yes.
So I was like,
okay, bye.
And then on the same trip, and I wish I could replicate this. So I was literally on the edge of the green, slightly uphill slant, and Dad was like, you know, just be really gentle, chip it onto the green, and I chipped it on, and it went in the hole, and I was like, I'm amazing at golf!
But I've won golf, I've done
it! I completed it!
Golf
completed, mate, but, you know, yeah, literally, it was... So, yeah, I remember it. I've never replicated that again since. And in fact, I have lessons with my pro and he's like, why are you doing... He's like, why would you say you can't do this? And I'm always just like, I can't do it. Like, flick my wrist, you know? Like, have, like, the worst habits. And I'm like, once upon a time, I chipped in off the edge of the green.
But can I just say, seeing your face, look how smiley and happy golf can make you. It is incredible what a wonderful sport this is. I think that's what we have to keep coming back to, the negativity. It's just like how wonderful it is for people that that was a year ago or so, and you can remember it as clear as yesterday. I think
yeah,
it's wicked.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember it. I love it. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I was kind of... I think that's probably the moment after that I was like, sort of like, yeah, I've got now to remember, but you know, I'm there.
Just think though, when we get back to it, you'll be rocking it. And it's just think it's going to be really exciting. It's not a fresh... it's not like you're starting from scratch. It's like a fresh start. It's a new start. And you've met loads of people. You've got loads more people to play golf with. And you're just starting your journey, which I think is really exciting.
You know, I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, it's really so cool that you're so new to it.
This summer, you're going to have to come down. Yeah.
Yeah, I was obviously like 3 seconds behind there because I was looking and you were still trying to chat away. So the internet at my end has gone terrible. Sorry, guys. I just think it's really cool that you are so new into this, and I'm fairly new, not massively new, but I'm fairly new now. If you actually include the old COVID years, it's probably about 4 years that I've been playing golf, and I'm obsessed with it, absolutely obsessed with it. And people underestimate the impact it has in terms of the positive mental health changes it can have. We talked to Scott last week and his story is obviously pretty incredible. If you haven't listened to it, you need to listen to it because it's really good. But other than that, yeah, I love golf. Absolutely love it. Have I frozen again, I bet?
You kind of went a little bit like, rah, 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 setting into this is going to be like, wow, that's... But it's all good. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been good.
Have you got any random questions that you'd like to ask us when we're frozen and we can't respond? <We're> like,
any random questions? What's like dolphin memory?
Oh, see, Tiff asked me that, and I think I've got way too many. So I've been playing golf for like 20 few years. And I generally think golf as a kid was amazing. I'd go rain, whatever. I'd take my CD player and just put that on, put it in my golf bag and walk out. And just golf is wonderful for me as a kid. And I would say to anyone who wants to get their kids into golf, it was the best thing I've done in general. So that's me bottling golf up for 25 years, quite a big bottle. So at least a litre bottle of stuff.
Yeah, well, for me, I said this to
hole in
as
one,
well.
17.
Yeah, hole in one. Yeah, 17 for the Kendrisher. Was pretty epic. I've won a couple of club competitions, but they didn't get as close as that hole in one feeling, because obviously that is so rare that I can remember like it was yesterday. That's on my Instagram story as well, if you want to check that out on there. You know, the little thing
we've
in the bottom.
We've never talked about it.
I might mention it a few times before. Only a few times. Only a few.
It does come out every month. You know?
It does come out every podcast.
You know, there's people I was talking about that keep repeating the same old crap on Instagram. That's me with my hole in one. Just like, I just keep throwing it out there. Like, and now that you know about it. Now you know about it. I'll just tag you in it as well every time, so you just remember about it.
I just say, do you not love that Ben managed to get through the entirety of that without freezing? Because that...
I know. Do you notice that one story? That one freaking story.
You know what?
I've been through about 10 stories and mad and angry, yet that story, he did not freeze once.
Do you know what? I've got another question.
Yeah, go on.
Quite a good one. And you finished a round of golf. And you go to the clubhouse. What's your go-to beverage?
Moretto. And maybe a sparkling water as well to be healthy.
Right, I've got two. I always smash an orange juice or lemonade. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's because I'm diabetic, so I have to chuck that in to make sure that my blood sugars are in an half-decent place after walking 8 hours. But I will always go for a Thatcher's. I don't know if you get Thatcher's up your way, but Thatcher's cider, or any rough cider. Love rough cider, so I'm all over that.
What's yours?
So it's definitely like a pint of water. I drink so much water when I go around. And my dad, if we go for a game, I will shove a big like litre bottle in my bag because he'll bring me a bottle about that big. And I'm literally gasping.
Gagging.
Like,
after the first half.
And my mouth is drier than gas.
Oh, no. Literally.
But G&T.
Oh. Any particular gin? Because I've got an obsession with pink gins and tasty gin.
Pink gins?
Huge pink gin fan. I find it a bit too strong.
A bit too?
Strong.
Stronger the better.
Stronger the better usually, but I just find that's what gets me the most drunk. But I do love a rhubarb gin. Or a raspberry gin. There's a really good one. Yes. A raspberry gin.
With lemonade.
Tonic for me. But yeah, love a fruity gin. Especially in summer.
I'm there with that. Yeah.
Especially in summer.
We can do that when we come back. We can have love this.
Yeah. Oh, if we come and play your end, I'll have to bring my own cider, because the only time I've ever been up north, I can always remember just moaning about there not being any decent ciders up there. I literally been to Manchester, I've been out on a night out in Manchester on a stag do. That was quite interesting. Newcastle, and all I can remember is moaning. Just like, where's the good cider? And they're like, oh, we've got Strongbow. And I'm like, that's not good cider.
Oh, no. Cider. No, I remember that at festivals when I was like 16, and now I can imagine anything worse.
Dirty cider.
Yeah. Well, if you come down here, we get some proper cider as well. You'd be having a lovely time.
Tell you what, I've got a rhubarb cider downstairs, actually.
Is that a Copperberg?
No, it's from a vineyard in Wales that also makes their own cider. Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, we've got a place over in Wales too that we go to sometimes, and we went there and discovered this really lovely little vineyard, and they do like red, white, and rosé, and they do really nice wine. But yeah, rhubarb cider, and it was really nice.
See,
right, we're all going to Wales then. That's closer than Portugal.
That's it. I'm one of these that I don't know about these different ciders either. I'm like apples all the way through. I don't mind a fruity one every now and then, because strong, like Strongbow dark stuff was a thing for a while.
Dirty.
As well, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, was that the purple can?
It's still a thing. I've got a friend that drinks that. I'm probably going to go message him now. I'm going to be like, I was just talking about Strongbow dark fruit. It made me think of you.
It's like that's it's like worse than swearing at somebody, that is, down here, that Strongbow dark fruits. But
you're from round here.
No, Danny, you have to speak like that when you're drinking it as well. I just want some rough cider. So yeah, other than that, Sinead, it's been lovely having you on.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Honestly, I've had such a lovely time.
It's yeah, it's nice to have that chat and chew the fat a little bit, have a little moan about Instagram, moan about the trolls, and then talk about all the positive stuff as well. It's been really nice to have you on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for your time.
Any last words, Emma, before we go?
See, I love it. We love stuff. We love happy stuff. Keep it going. Sod the baddies. We don't like them. They've got something wrong with them.
Get in the bin, baddies. That's what I'm gonna
say. Yeah, get rid of them.
Get in the bin. Dirty. Get in the bin.
And that's it for tonight. But thank you very much for joining us. And next time, we'll see you soon.
Take care.